Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 22. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 22. In the early church, there was a couple named Ananias and Sapphira. Many in the church had gone and made offerings. They'd sold property and made offerings of the money and the proceeds that they had made and donated those to the church and to help feed the poor and those kinds of things. And so Ananias and Sapphira decided to do that, but they kept some of the money back for themselves. So they brought the money to Peter, and he said, "Is this the whole amount?" No. But they said, "Yes, this is the whole amount." And instantly, Ananias dropped dead. Now, his wife Sapphira comes in a little bit later. Same thing happens. She drops dead. And I think God was actually protecting the revival that was taking place in the early church. And he wasn't going to allow someone to quench the Holy Spirit of God when such a powerful move of God was taking place. And so this discipline was swift and sure. The Bible says fear came upon all of those of that region. I would say so. Being an obstacle to the things of God is a dangerous place to be. We need to be careful that we don't place ourselves in a place where we are asking for either the discipline of God if we're a child of God, or for the judgment of God if we don't know Christ. This scripture that we're going to look at here tonight actually deals with two priests, the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, who not only were stealing the offerings of the people of God that they brought to the tabernacle, and were threatening people with force. I don't know if they used the meat cleaver that they were using and said, "You better give that to me." But they would pound on it, on the pot, and they would say, "You give it to me or I'm taking it by force." But they also apparently were sleeping with women right in the tabernacle courts. This was a grievous sin against God. Eli hears about it. Of course, he's rebuking his sons in the scripture we're going to look at. But then we find out that he himself is not innocent, because the man of God comes to him and says, "Eli, you have gotten fat on the offerings of the people of God." In other words, you let your son steal the offerings, and then you've gotten fat on them. And so your house is going to be taken from you, and is going to be given to a priest that I will raise up according to my heart and my mind. And so look with me at verse 22. We'll begin reading here. The title of my message is Avoiding God's Judgment, and we need to repent of any sin that would stand in the way of God's purposes in our lives. Look at verse 22. It says, "Now Eli was very old. He heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel, and how they were sleeping with women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He said to them, 'Why are you doing these things? I have heard about your evil actions from all these people. No, my sons, the news I hear about the Lord, that the Lord's people are spreading, is not good. If one person sins against another, God can intercede for him. But if a person sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him?' But they would not listen to their father, since the Lord intended to kill them. By contrast, the boy Samuel grew in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people." So avoiding God's judgment, how do you avoid God's judgment? Well, you need to be careful, first of all, about what you do. Be careful about what you do. He says in verse 22, he heard about everything his sons were doing to all Israel. This was a persistent, ongoing sin that they were doing. Now, I've heard people say, I would think God would strike me dead if I did that in church. Well, maybe so. But this was not just a one-time occurrence. This was an ongoing occurrence. The Bible says that God is slow to anger and rich in mercy, and so forth. But God also has a limit to the time that he waits before bringing discipline or before bringing judgment. So we need to be careful about what we're doing. Nations need to be careful about what they're doing, don't they? We are killing babies in abortion, and I really believe that is the one issue that will bring judgment on our country like unlike any other issue that we have. And so I pray that God will overturn the laws that are permitting, a genocide of the most vulnerable people in our culture, which are babies. This needs to be overturned. And so pray with me on that. But God, we need to be careful as nations what we do. We need to be careful as a church what we do. We need to stand for the truth. There are churches all around us that are affirming things that are wicked, things that are not in line with the Word of God. We need to be careful that we speak the truth, that we're faithful to the truth that God has given us. We need to be faithful to the mission that God has given us of reaching people for Jesus Christ. But we also especially need to not lose our first love. The church at Ephesus was doing everything right. They had good doctrine. They were working hard in the service of the Lord. They were faithful. They had their I's dotted and their T's crossed. But Jesus said, I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. And if you don't repent, I'm going to take away your lampstand. I had a friend in Texas who used to preach a message about why churches die. And basically that was the thesis of his message. We've left our first love. And ultimately it's not the pastor or the deacons or the Sunday school teachers or even the people themselves that kill a church. Jesus Christ is the one who takes away the lampstand. It's a kind of sobering thought. But we need to be careful what we do in our lives. Make sure that we nurture that relationship with God, that we have Him as number one, and that we are walking in fellowship with Him. So be careful about what you do, but not only as churches, but as individuals, we need to be careful what we do. If we have persistent, ongoing sin, the Bible says, whom the Lord loves, He chastens. In other words, if you're His child, He will discipline you. I can give testimony to that. He has disciplined me in my life. And if you've been a Christian very long, He's probably disciplined you as well. If you are an individual who doesn't know Jesus Christ, you need to be careful. Because you don't know how many days God has given you as an opportunity to trust in Jesus Christ. Jonathan Edwards preached the famous message, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And he said, the only thing that keeps the fury and the wrath and the justice of God from plunging you immediately into the depths of hell is the slender thread of His grace that holds you up. Boy, what a vivid picture. Each breath that we are given is a gift of the grace of God. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, you trust Him. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't put it off till next year. Do it today. So be careful what you do. Secondly, be careful who you despise. Be careful who you despise. Verse 22 says, how they were sleeping with the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. This is what Eli had been told. This is what your sons are doing. Now think about this for a second. There's a lot of places to sin, right? The Israelites were told by the prophets, God says, I see you. You're sinning under every high place, every spreading tree. You're sinning. I see it. Eli's sons weren't doing that. They were sinning in the most overt way that they could sin against God. And they were showing through their actions that they despised God. That's a dangerous thing. And because they despised the Lord, they put themselves in very great danger. Matter of fact, we read down a few verses, we see already God is planning to put them to death. Talk about a fearful situation. I've often quoted that verse, if God be for us, who can be against us? But if God be against us, who could be for us? Be careful who you despise. Many times there are people who have genuine questions, but other times people just despise God. They want to curse God. They want to question the things of God. And they have a regular, intense purpose against the things of God. Larry Foster told me when he was a director of schools that every single day he had somebody calling him upset about the fact that he had allowed a Christian group to meet, or he'd allowed the Gideons to pass out Bibles, or whatever the case may be. Every day it was relentless. There are people who despise the things of God and they relentlessly oppose the things of God. If that's you, I don't think we've got the Sunday night crowd here, but if that's you, be warned, because it is a very dangerous thing. And if you know someone like that, maybe you've got a loved one or a friend who has that attitude toward the things of God, pray for that person, because they're in a very seriously dangerous position, despising the things of God. I would hate to stand before God someday having said, I'm the one that got prayer taken out of school, or I'm the one who got the Ten Commandments taken out of the courthouse. There are those who will stand. And if you look at the lives of some of these folks who've done these things, and you see their end and how things played out in their lives, it's truly sobering. Be careful who you despise. Despising God is not a good idea. Secondly, who you despise. Thirdly, be careful who you hurt. Be careful who you hurt. He says, his sons, verse 22, were doing this to all Israel. Verse 24, the news I hear the Lord's people spreading is not good. Who were they hurting? God's people. Saul of Tarsus persecuted the church. Remember what Jesus said to him? Why are you persecuting me? He said, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. That sounds painful, doesn't it? You ever kick something, you know, hit something with your big toe in the dark, and hopefully what you said was godly. But kicking against the goads, kicking against the spikes, that's a painful situation. When you hurt God's people, that is a serious, serious thing. This is why we need to take real seriously how we treat each other. Now, I don't know of any, in case you think I'm talking about somebody in church, I'm not, okay? But we need to be very careful that we show love to each other, that we treat others with respect within the body of Christ, because as we do these things to other people within the church, we do it to Christ. He said, inasmuch as you do it unto one of the least of these, you've done it to me. But it is especially true of those who name the name of Christ. Be careful who you hurt. Listen, there are spiritual leaders just like Hophni and Phinehas in our day today who hurt the people of God, who take advantage. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They take advantage of the people of God. They fleece the people of God. They engage in multiple affairs throughout the church. I've told you, I still shake my head when I hear this. But I saw when I lived in Texas this lady being interviewed, and her pastor had multiple affairs throughout the church. And the reporter asked her, are you still going to support your pastor? And she said, well, yes, I am, because he's a man of God. No, he is not. You see, those who hurt the people of God are the wolves, not the sheep. The shepherd, the good shepherd, lays down his life for his sheep. And I know that's talking about Jesus, but faithful under shepherds, that will be true of as well. they will give themselves on behalf of the sheep rather than taking advantage of the sheep. So be careful who you hurt. Finally, be careful how you hear. Now, verse 25, Eli says, if one person sins against another, God can intercede for him. But if a person sins against the Lord, who can intercede for him? In other words, you're sinning against God. If God is against you, who can be for you? But what does it say? How they respond? They would not listen to their father, since the Lord intended to kill them. You could actually take this translation, the Lord intended to kill them. It can be translated, the Lord was pleased to kill them. So odious had they become in the eyes of God in their flagrant sin that God was ready to take them. And he wasn't going to shed tears about it. Although, probably in some sense, it pained him because he says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So God's planning on putting them to death. Be careful how you hear. I'm sure Hophni and Phinehas had heard many lessons from the scripture condemning the very sins that they were committing. And they hardened their heart. And they hardened their heart. And they harden their heart. So a lot of times I'll hear people come out, and I haven't heard it recently, but I've heard it many times over the course of my ministry, and they'll say, well, Pastor, I know God's Word says that, but be careful. Be careful. Because what happens is when we harden our hearts, we say no to God, 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 a callous develops over our hearts to become hard-hearted to the things of God. And we can reach a point, if we don't know Christ, we can reach a point where we cross God's deadline and God himself begins to harden our heart in judgment. He says, okay, you want to harden your heart, I'll help you. In the New Testament, this is the sin of apostasy. Someone who declares themselves to be a believer, but they're not generally a believer. And they continue to resist the things of God until finally God gives them over to it and his Holy Spirit no longer strives with them. And they can never be saved. Tragic. Be careful how you hear. By the way, if you know Christ, you still need to be careful how you hear. Because if you don't hear God and you don't respond to God, you will miss the abundant life. I tell you what, one of the greatest blessings of the Christian life is walking with God. Sweet fellowship with God, the joy of the Lord. Peter says this, he says, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. So in other words, the benefits of our salvation, we're enjoying those. We're living in the joy of the Lord. Paul says this. He says that we have the peace that passes understanding. What is he talking about? He's talking about the abundant life. The blessings of walking with God, but if you don't listen to God, you won't live in the blessings. It's not something that we earn. It's not that. But it's just that we quench the Spirit of God. And we quench the Spirit of God through our sin. And when we quench the Spirit of God through our sin, the fruit of the Spirit is gone. Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He just backs off and he lets us do our thing. He's still there. But he is not communicating the blessings of God to our hearts and lives. So we need to be careful how we hear. So Hophni and Phinehas did everything the wrong way. That's what we've been talking about tonight, right? Avoiding God's judgment. But probably we need to talk about how to do things the right way. First of all, you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. The great thing is that when we repent of our sin and put our trust in Jesus Christ to save us from sin, he gives us forgiveness, forgiveness, He gives us eternal life. He gives us the blessings of a relationship with Him. It all comes through Jesus Christ. By the way, I don't know if you noticed, but if you look in verse 26, it says, by contrast, the boy Samuel grew in stature and in favor with the Lord and with people. Does that sound familiar? I learned a verse in Bible, not in Bible drill. I started to say Bible school. In Bible drill, Luke 2:52, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You see, Samuel is a type of the perfect high priest yet to come. Listen, sometimes we can get discouraged with all the wickedness that we see in this world. But can I tell you something? No matter what we may see or what we may experience in this life, Jesus is coming. And one day He's going to set everything right. So begin that relationship with Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Ask God to give you a heart that seeks Him fully. And when you don't seek Him fully, you know when you're half-hearted, right? You can tell. I've had to confess that before in my quiet time. You know, I'm not a morning person. Sometimes I'm not wholehearted in my desire to meet with God in the mornings because I'm just tired. I don't feel like it. And so I'll say, Lord, I confess to you, my heart is not in this. Please fill me with your Spirit and give me the right heart and help me to draw near to you in faith and expectancy. We've been given a promise. If we seek Him with all our hearts, we'll find Him. We've been given another promise. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you truly desire to be righteous? You ought to. Because, not just because it's the right thing to do, but because that's where the blessing is. Somebody once said that you want to get under the spout where the glory comes out. When you live a righteous life, we don't earn God's favor. That's given to us in Christ. We're accepted in Jesus Christ. We don't have to work to be accepted. But it's just lining ourselves up with the Holy Spirit. And when we do that in righteousness, God begins to pour out His blessing upon our lives in increasing measure. And we find ourselves, I love what the early church father said. I believe it was Clement of Rome, and he was being martyred. And they said, renounce Christ, and we'll spare you from the lions. And he said, for all these years, he was an old man. He said, for all these years I've served Christ, He's never once done me wrong, and I'm not about to do Him wrong. And he went to his death. He said, my Savior has been faithful to me. He's been good to me. Get under the spout where the glory comes out and enjoy the blessing of walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to give you a heart that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. Here's another great one to ask God. Ask God to help you learn how to walk in the Spirit. The Spirit, by the way, is a person. It's not the force, okay? I love Star Wars movies, especially the old ones. The newer ones are okay, but I love the older Star Wars movies. But despite what Obi-Wan Kenobi says, the Force is not what makes a difference, okay? The Holy Spirit is a person, and He is a person who is part of the Trinity, the Holy Trinity, part of the Godhead. And He has come to live within us. And as we learn to let Him live His life through us, we will live in victory and in power. And so ask God to teach you how to walk in the Holy Spirit. And then instead of trying to avoid God's judgment, you will have avoided God's judgment through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you will have avoided God's discipline by seeking Him and following Him. And you will enter into the joy of all that God has for you. By the way, that joy can come despite circumstances. Peter, where I talked about the joy unspeakable and full of glory, did you know Peter's a book on suffering? He's writing to a suffering church and he's saying, look, you and I both know God has given us joy in the midst of all this. This is the blessing of walking with God. So avoiding God's judgment, how do you do it? Be careful about what you do, who you despise, who you hurt, and how you hear. It can make a huge difference. And as you do these things, and then as you do the positive things of seeking the Lord and hungering and thirsting for righteousness and learning to walk in the Spirit, you will enter God's blessing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. God, I pray that we would indeed, as a people, hunger and thirst after righteousness, that we would seek you with all our hearts, and that you would teach us more and more how to walk in the filling of your Holy Spirit. God, let us not miss out on the best that you have to offer.